We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday, it's April 18th, it's 2023. We have an 11-game MLB slate to talk about here on today's podcast. I'm joined today by my buddy Keith Eiser, Eyes819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Well, as a guy who has 100% Jacob deGrom and went way underweight on Coors Field, you know, it's a night. We're here. We're still alive, right? We could be doing worse things on a Monday night, right?
Yeah, very underweight on Pittsburgh, personally. Overweight on, like, Wazinski. And I had 100% DeGrom as well on the three teams that I built. So, I mean, and I still, like, back it. Like, what do? Like, you, I mean, he was dominating them. Like nothing wrong with like the Jacob deGrom play. It's just at the end of the day, it's just variance. So I'm not overly concerned about deGrom. I mean Gausman, if anything. Oof. your boy for Chicago, who's getting up on hitters and then throwing fastballs right down the middle. That's what I'm concerned about.
I'm about over him. I was super excited about him coming into the year. I live here in Arizona where their spring training is. I saw him live twice and he looked awesome in spring. And I don't know what happened to him. Like the control is completely gone and he can't miss a bat. Like he's just getting squared up by the Oakland Athletics. It's tough scenes.
What's up, YouTube? Thanks for hanging out with us here on Monday night. Hope everyone's having a fantastic Monday night. As fantastic as it can be. Cause I mean like the pivots off of DeGrom, we'll have to see like how Burns ends up, but I mean the pivots off of DeGrom, not the best. So it's just one of those nights. Like DeGrom scoring 18 points, if your bats kind of did their thing, like if you played Pittsburgh, you probably did okay. So it's just a super interesting night, depending on like who your SP2 was. I mean, there's not really been like a big arm, like go out and dominate yet. So
like Flaherty was posting a decent game, and then he got rocked. Like they sent him back out there for the seventh at like he had like 80 pitches or 85 pitches when they sent him back out there, and then he just got shelled in the seventh. So even he failed. So yeah, pitching was really tough tonight for sure.
Yeah, I mean, DeGrom, I think he's the highest scoring pitcher right now. I know Jordan Lyles had like 16 fantasy points or something as well. So like I said, we have to see where Burns ends up. But I mean, it's kind of looking like DeGrom might still end up being like a top 2 point scorer on the slate. So he didn't kill you. It's just a weird night for pitching. So ready to move on. I mean, that's the best thing about DFS and betting. I mean, you get to move on right away. Like it's over, it's done. Yeah, I might not cash any of my three teams today. Like that's just how it moves, like how it is. So I go back and I redo everything I did again. I mean, I know I trust my process and just wasn't working out. Who knows though? I have a ton of Atlanta. So if Atlanta can go off here, maybe I can have a little bit of luck. But Pittsburgh at their prices and their ownership scoring 13 runs in the fifth. It's hard to catch up to that. Even though they're not like hitting home runs and stuff, they're scoring a bunch. So it's hard to catch up to that. Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about that again here on this one that we're about to break down. Because, oh boy, if you thought the pitching matchup was good on Monday night, just wait till this one.
I know. There's some interesting, like pitching on this slate is really interesting in general. So let's get into it. Let's get started. We do get started here on this 11 game slate with the Angels at New York facing the Yankees. This game has a 9 total. The Yankees, a 142 favorite. We got Suarez and Schmidt facing off in this one. Any interest here in Jose Suarez?
I don't think I can do it in Yankee Stadium. He's an okay strikeout pitcher. The Yankees strike out quite a bit, but man, the right-handed power in this park, it's pretty tough. I will say there's not a lot of great cheap pitching options. But again, Coors Field is underpriced, so I'm not sure that we even need it. Like on the slate on Monday, it was pretty easy to get two aces in there and stack Coors Field. That's probably going to be what ends up winning here tonight. I don't think that we need to chase Suarez here. Like the Yankees strike out plenty, but there's some heavy risk here.
I mean, the right-handed bats in this lineup are enough reason for me to say, I mean, Suarez hasn't pitched well to start the season in general. Like, he struggled against a really bad Washington offense last time out. Like, 10 hits, he really, I mean, his command is just not there yet. He's not missing bats. If he doesn't miss bats against the Yankees, even with, like, Stanton, like, on the IL, like, there's still so many right-handed bats in this lineup. You know, Judge, Torres, LeMahieu, Higgs. I know I'm missing, like, Kenner Fafle. and, like, a guy like Rizzo who can hit lefties just as much as he can hit righties. You know, Suarez has been really good against lefties, but continues to struggle with righties and continuing to struggle with righties this season. So I don't want to touch Suarez in this spot. Going to the other side, Clark Schmidt. I mean, I don't want to touch him either. He's not going deep into games. He's really, I mean, he hasn't shown really any promise at all. I mean, he's another guy that is generating a little bit more like swinging misses, but still at the end of the day, I don't think this is a spot that I'm excited to play Clark Schmidt.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think I'd prefer to play Schmidt over Suarez, but really no interest here either. There was some hype around him developing a cutter in spring training. Just haven't really seen it translate. He looked really good in his first outing against San Francisco, but two kind of mediocre starts after that. Like you said, 84 pitches is a season high. Probably not doing it here against the Angels.
Yeah, coming into the season, I mean, he's a guy that like you target in like deep fantasy leagues if you play like best balls in season long, because like he's supposed to have an above average curveball. So it just really, like I said, it hasn't translated this year. Like last year, we saw him. He threw out of the bullpen a little bit, right? I know he started a few games, but he threw out of the bullpen, and even out of the bullpen, where it's like bang, 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 he was still only averaging, you know, an 11.8% swinging strike rate out of the bullpen, 9.9 this season through three starts. So I'm just worried about him missing bats. 40.5% hard hit rate to start the year. And I mean, there's enough power in this Angels lineup that it's really tough to trust Schmidt in this spot. So for me, looking at the bats here on the Angels, I mean, it's the same guys. It's Trout, it's Ohtani, it's Renfro, it's Ward. I mean, they're in Yankee Stadium. The bullpen is really good for the Yankees. So, I mean, if you're stacking them, you're really hoping they just put it on them really early. What are your thoughts here on the Angels bets?
Yeah, I mean, Trout and Ohtani, obviously playable anytime. The pricing on them is really tough. Like, Renfro and Ward are priced way up. So I think this is probably like your one-offing Ohtani or Trout, or maybe finding a three-man with a couple value pieces with those two. I just don't love the Renfro Ward pricing. Even Ohapi is priced up now. Good prospect, fills a catcher position, but don't love the $4,300 price tag. It's not a full stack for me just because of the pricing here.
Yeah, I mean, the pricing is tough. I don't disagree with that. Yankees bats, I mean, I like the Yankee stack here. I think this is a spot that you can attack. The Angels bullpen, another bullpen that's been really good to start the year. But if you can get to Suarez early, like, I mean, the upside for the Yankees here is big.
Yeah, definitely. A little bit banged up. Stanton on the IL is tough. Donaldson is as well. Not sure that he's worth rostering as much anymore, but definitely some injuries here for the Yankees. Love Judge. Love Torres. I like the Rizzo lefty-lefty call quite a bit. Interested to see what the ownership comes in on Rizzo, because that could give me even more interest if we get a low-owned Rizzo here. Volpe's been leading off, 3,300. Dude's been running every time he gets on, so I absolutely love him. And then whoever the catcher is, I think, is certainly in play, whether it's Higgs or whether it's Trevino, both of them in play as well.
Could potentially get a cheap bat here. I mean, it could potentially be both catchers, really. I mean,
or they called up who was it that they called up? Peraza, they just called up too. He's a righty that might find his way into the lineup here. He's 2,800. I would like a bit.
Definitely. All right. Moving on. We got Baltimore at Washington. This game has a 9 total as well. The Orioles, a 146 favorite. We got Kramer and we have Gray facing off against each other in this one. Let's go to Dean Kramer first. I mean, I'll be the first to say I played him in his last start. I love attacking Oakland, and it didn't work, man. He really has not looked great on the hill, and struggling with Oakland kind of worries me. You're kind of getting the same type of offense here. I mean, this is a bad Washington lineup. This is a team that, you know, we talk about picking on a lot. Like, they just don't have any power. Their ISO as a team against right-handed pitching is 0.094. They're the only team under 100 ISO. So they just don't have a lot of power. They've only hit 6 home runs against right-handed pitching this season. They have a 67 WRC plus, which is the worst in the MLB. If he had pitched a little bit better and maybe got a little unlucky or something, maybe I could say, like, hey, let's go back to the well here. But, I mean, I watched that game and he just didn't look good.
Yeah, Washington's not good. I agree with that. But Dean Kramer might not be good either. Yeah. Like, I'm really struggling.
He had a 200 BABIP in that game against Oakland. 200 BABIP. He had a 10.9 FIP in that game.
Oof. Yeah, I don't think I can do it. I was looking for a pitcher down in the 6K range, and I just don't think there is one on this slate, honestly, that I'm very interested in.
It's okay to be that way too, right? At the end of the day, like, it's okay to not pay down all the way. Like, there's going to be mispriced, you know, hitters somewhere. Somewhere there's going to be mispriced hitters. And I mean, I tend to agree with you on this slate. I mean, you could, there's one guy that I'm going to bring up when we get there that I think you could take some tournament shots on. But yeah, I mean, really under 8K is tough today. Just in general. Yep. So, Josiah Gray, 6,500. I mean, at once was a prospect that a lot of people talked about, that had once had gone. So, any interest here in Josiah Gray?
No interest whatsoever. The big return for Trey Turner, right? And Max Scherzer when they got shipped to the Dodgers. just hasn't quite panned out for him, and it's because lefties crush him. The Baltimore lefties are my favorite spot on the slate outside of Coors.
Yeah, I mean, they get there. Like, just Baltimore in general gets there so many different ways. They're a team that's running a lot. They have power. They get on base. Like, they just get there so many different ways. So, I mean, I'll keep pounding this, but if you're stacking Baltimore, you have to add Adley Rutschman in there. I hate paying up a catcher. Everyone knows that. If you listen to the podcast, you know how much I hate paying up a catcher. He's the guy. Like, he's the guy that, like, if I'm paying up for a catcher on a slate, it's Rutschman. I mean, he's living up to the hype. Let's be honest. Like, this guy, he got called up last year, and everyone was like, because he was kind of for the first month, and then he hit. And he was fine, and he hasn't stopped. So it's hard for me to say, like, stack Baltimore and don't play him, because he might be the best hitter on this team. So Mullins offers some upside. Mateo is someone righty-righty who can run. Santander gives you some upside. So there's so many ways for these Baltimore guys to get there outside of just home runs. So, I mean, Gunnar Henderson's finally starting to hit. So, yeah, I mean, I have a ton of interest here in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on a lot of great stuff there. Rutschman is my favorite play here. Mullins is outstanding. Baltimore, I believe, is still leading the majors in stolen bases. So there's power and there's speed all throughout this lineup. You have to pay for it with Mullins and Rutschman, but I'm completely fine with that. Santander, I like it, 4,100. Like, paying up the Mountcastle, this probably isn't the spot. The Washington bullpen isn't great either, so definitely not trying to talk you out of him. I think I'm spending for Rutschman for sure, and probably Mullins too, just because there's power upside against Gray in addition to the speed upside that he brings. Absolutely love Gunnar Henderson at 3,800. And then whichever cheap lefty outfielder is in the lineup. Where's he at? What's his name? I'm losing it right now. He's right-handed.
They called Ryan O'Hearn up over the weekend.
He's in line. I thought McKenna was left-handed for some reason, but he's right-handed also. So
They've been getting him some at-bats too. So if he drew a start here, they could start him, they could DH him in this spot, or they could give Mountcastle a day. So if O'Hearn's in there, you can play him at first base or outfield. Mountcastle's been, like, playing every day. Wouldn't shock me if they gave him a day here. But, I mean, Mountcastle's been crushing the ball, too. I mean, what does he have, 6 home runs, I think? So, I mean, if you're them, probably not wanting to. But they were carrying 3 catchers there for a little while, and they sent one of the catchers down, and O'Hearn was the, like, correspondent, like, call-up. And he got some at-bats over the weekend. Urias is banged up right now. So, like, I mean, I could see him DHing in this spot. If he DHs over, like, Hayes, I worry about, like, the pinch hit risk. But, I mean, he's so cheap that if he gets even a couple at-bats, might be able to pay it off. So O'Hearn, like, opens up the Baltimore stack if you want to, like, go down here.
Yep, completely agree. If he's in there, love that. Like, even 2 at-bats, like you said, at 2,600, I'm completely fine with that. But Mullins, Rutschman, Henderson, 3 of my favorite plays on the slate. Throw Santander in there as well.
Yeah, and I mean, if a guy goes out and he gets 2 hits, I mean, it's really hard to pinch hit for that guy. You know, so. Washington side here, I mean, gosh, they're just so bad. And, like, I'm not even, like, saying it to be mean. It's just they're bad. Like, there's just nothing in this lineup that excites me to play in DFS.
Yeah, kind of with you. They are really cheap. And I'm not scared of Dean Kramer. So
CJ Abrams is 2,400.
He could steal you a base.
He could steal you a base. He has some pop. He's fat. Like, I mean, that, like, shortstop is a position, like, especially, like, all right, if you're going to the other side and you're, like, if you're stacking Baltimore and you're playing Rutschman and you're paying up a catcher, like, shortstop's my next position. I like to punt. And I mean, I don't really love much at the top today anyway. So maybe I just go down there and, like, hey, I play some CJ Abrams. He's really cheap.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I don't think I'm full stacking, even though it's Kramer, and I wouldn't mind picking on him a little bit. There's just not much to do it with. Candelario at 3,400, I suppose. Even Meneses' price is starting to come down a little bit, but we prefer him against lefties. Ruiz is playable at 3,100, filling a catcher's position for not a ton of salary. Dom Smith, I don't hate that. There's a little pop in that bat still. He's 2,600. So I don't think I'd full stack him because I'm worried about upside, but a few guys could get there for cheap, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they called up Stone Garrett, and he's hit everything, and they don't play him every day. So I have no idea what's going on with that. But so it's tough. But, yeah, I mean, Abrams would probably be my favorite here from Washington. If you need, like, if you want to punt, like, we talked about, like, paying up for pitching. Like, if you need to punt two spots, you could hope that, like, Garcia and Abram hit right next to each other, and you can get them really cheap. And, you know, that's always, like, a – the way that you got to think about baseball sometimes is like, all right, these guys are cheap. Whoever's hitting in front of the other one hits a single, steals second, and my hit guy hits a single, and then he steals second. Like, I'm off to the races at these prices. So, yeah. I mean, the new base, like, it's just there. I don't know if Garcia has a stolen base. I know Abrams has, I think, two or three. So, all right, moving on. We got Minnesota heading to Fenway to take on my Sox. 9 total in this game, too. Some big totals today overall. Twins are a slight favorite at minus 116. It's kind of a pick'em game as far as, like, baseball pick'em games go. We got Gray and Sale. Any interest here in Sonny Gray?
Yeah, I do. I don't love the ballpark. But Gray has some upside here in this spot. I think Boston strikes out a fair amount. Gray has a 13 strikeout game on his resume already this season. Not that I'm expecting that here by any means. Just like SP2 is kind of difficult. I think we know who our SP1 is going to be. Like, I think SP2 is pretty wide open. Sonny Gray is a guy I'm going to take some shots on. Pretty good leash here. A little bit of strikeout upside. I don't mind the price tag. 8,600, I think, is fair.
Yeah, I mean, Boston, a plenty of power in this lineup, right? Top 10 in ISO this season. And honestly, they have one of the lowest strikeout rates in baseball against random pitching this season, second lowest. But if you've been following along, they started the season with very little strikeouts. And now they're missing some key pieces that, like, just guys that put the ball in play. So, I mean, overall, I think this is a spot that you can take some shots on Sonny Gray. I haven't been picking on the Red Sox a ton this season just because, like, they are a team that they've just kind of shifted gears from, like, this powerhouse offense to, like, you know, we'll get production from home runs from, like, Devers and Cassis. And then the rest of these guys, we want them to put the ball in play. So, it's tough. I mean, like I said, second lowest strikeout rate in baseball this season against right-handed pitching. Pitching is limited on the slate. I think that you could definitely take some shots here on Sonny Gray. Any interest in Chris Sale?
I don't know what's going on with Mr. Sale here, but I think I need to see
injuries from him for the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, just he's giving up a lot of hard contact. The leash is not great. 81 pitches his last time out. That was his highest so far this season. The price, they're trying to get Tatakis into playing Chris Sale. I mean, there's still talent in there. He's going through some stuff right now, giving up too much hard contact. The control's a little bit off. So I probably need to see it one time before I play him.
Yeah. I mean, he had a decent game against Detroit, but it still wasn't like that's a lineup that you kind of expect him to dominate, and it just wasn't there. So, I mean, Minnesota has been a team that's been underwhelming. They've been striking out at a huge clip so far this season against left-handed pitching. I think it's like 28% in 90 at-bats. So, I mean, it's still such a small sample size when we're looking at team stats. But my biggest concern with Chris Sale is, like, the walk rate and the power he's allowing. Like you mentioned, the hard hit rate, 48.6%. 48.6% hard hits through 3 games. So I just worry about that. I mean, the strikeout stuff's still there. That's your upside, right? At 7,500, if he gives up 1 or 2 home runs, you hope he strikes out like 8 or 9 and gets maybe a 5 or 6 pitch bump here. Or, I mean, we really want like a 10 pitch bump. I will note with Brian Bello, coming back on and pitching on Monday's game, that gave Sale an extra day. So he's on 6 days instead of 5 days. So maybe he does get like 8 extra pitches here. I don't know, man. I'm on the fence. I don't hate the price. I'm on the fence. It probably will, for me, come down to like what the Minnesota lineup looks like. Like if it's a normal Minnesota lineup with, you know, Buxton and Correa and those guys in there, probably don't play much. But I mean, if they roll out three or four lefties against Sale, that might be enough at 7,500 for me to pull the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly am interested because of the price. We know what the upside has been. Like you said, the strikeout stuff still looks pretty decent too. So I don't know.
Almost a 30% K rate. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk some bats here. I mean, Chris Sale has been getting hit hard. Do we think Minnesota goes a little lower owned here just because it's like a name like Chris Sale?
So I think the full stack probably goes pretty low owned because they are dealing with some injuries. They're also pretty left-handed as I'm looking through this. Making a five-man stack, I mean, Buxton and Correa are obviously two of the best plays. Like, if Sale is still going to, like, just not have the control and leaving stuff over the middle of the plate, there's not many guys that have more power than Buxton and Correa, so love both of those guys. After that, it gets pretty shaky, though. Just very left-handed. Miranda has not been good this season. He's 2,900, though. I certainly don't mind a shot there. Whoever's catching, I'm interested in, whether it's
Hopefully
Vasquez
it's
or Jeffers,
Jeffers. Right?
Yeah, I mean, Jeffers has been really good against lefties. I think Vasquez has been, too, in his career. So I'm interested in a cheap catcher here.
Ooh, revenge game for Vasquez.
Kyle too. Garlick is cheap. He's got power against lefties. Like, you can make the five-man work, but I don't think people are, like, completely sold that Sale will remain this broken. So I think they do end up a little bit under-owned.
I mean, he still has the ability to strike people out, which is huge for him, but I mean, he just doesn't have that like Sale dominant command to like really attack hitters. I think that will come, I hope. I mean, like, if we get a season where Chris Sale stays healthy the whole year, right? At some point this season, it's going to click. He's an elite pitcher when he's healthy. He is getting older, and he definitely has dealt with injuries, but he gets a lot of natural movement on his pitches. It's one thing that a lot of people have always talked about with Sale, but I think this is where you're going to get your punt catcher. You know, when I'm looking at punt catchers, I think either one of these guys is fine. So I think this is the spot you're potentially looking for, like your punt catcher. Garlick got called up over the weekend or Thursday or Friday, like sometime like really late last week. If he cracks the lineup, he's like 2,300. So we'll have to kind of see how it plays out. But I mean, there's some cheap bats for Minnesota.
Yeah, I didn't go down. Solano's only 2,100. I think he's going to be in the lineup here. He's
got to
use
him at first base, though, man.
That's what sucks because he doesn't have a ton of power, and he doesn't have speed either. He's just strictly like a contact guy. And he's first base only, which, yeah, not great. Michael Taylor, but he'll probably hit ninth. Yeah, I mean, it's
all right. Boston, Boston side of this game. Any interest here in the Red Sox?
Not a ton. Probably be playing more Sonny Gray. Like Devers is expensive. I still like him. You can play him if you want to. Not a ton of interest outside of that.
It's kind of where I'm at too. All right, we got Texas at Kansas City. Eovaldi and Keller facing off in this one. Again, another nine total. And we got the Rangers as a slight favorite here at -125. Nathan Eovaldi, 7,800. Do you have any interest in him on this slate?
Yeah, I mean, I think the price tag is very intriguing. He's certainly struggled a little bit. Got blown up a little bit in his last one, allowed 10 hits.
Against this team, too.
Yeah, yeah. 7,800 though. I'm still interested in going back to him. I think he's a good enough pitcher. The strikeout stuff has been there. I think he can get it back on track here.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a guy with a 6.32 ERA. Gosh, I hate ERA. It's my least favorite stat in the world. This guy has a 2.7 xFIP. He has a 444 BABIP. He's getting so unlucky. The stats say play Nathan Eovaldi here, and I think he's my favorite pitcher under 8K today. Kansas City is the second worst offense in baseball against right-handed pitching. I mean, and the fact Dane Dunning helped the Rangers out a ton when DeGrom left, was able to eat up a lot of innings, so they didn't have to like use a ton of bullpen in that game. So, like, when I saw DeGrom get hurt, I instantly looked, like, this is where my mind goes. I instantly looked and I was like, man, who's pitching, you know, tomorrow? All right, if they use a lot of bullpen, maybe Eovaldi gets stretched to like 100, 105 pitches in this game because they're going to need it. Well, didn't matter because Dane Dunning kind of went out and did his thing. And, I mean, it worked. He's like one of the highest scoring pitchers on the slate. No one he played him. I'm just saying. Going back to our conversation from earlier, but yeah, I mean, he's been super unlucky. Super unlucky. Like, still generating a ton of like medium contact, so not giving up a ton of hard contact. 13.3% swinging strike rate through three games this season. That's the highest of his career. I know it's only three games, and it's going to change, but the advanced numbers look great. The advanced numbers look great. And like, you're always, you know, worried, but I mean, when I see advanced numbers like this and you price like this against an offense like this, I don't care that he just faced them. I'm going to trust the numbers on this one, and I'm going to play some Nathan Eovaldi. So, Keller's actually been pitching pretty decent. Like, we were talking about, like, is there a guy under 7K you could play? And I said, there's a tournament option. I mean, it might be Brad Keller.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. The leash has been really nice to see as well. He was over 100 pitches the last time out. Tournaments, I'm completely fine with it. I don't know how much I'm getting there. Like, once Corey Seager got hurt for this Texas team, I thought we were going to be able to attack him a little bit, but they've actually been hitting the ball quite well.
Yeah.
But, like, I agree with you. If I'm playing somebody down here, it's probably Keller. Like, the strikeouts have ticked up a little bit, it seems. He hasn't been a huge strikeout guy in his career, but 7 against this Texas team his last time out, so I don't hate it.
Yeah, Texas, I mean, they strike out at enough of a, like, kind of clip, but, I mean, they're also one of the highest, like, home runs when it comes to, like, against right-handed pitching this season. They've been a team that's been hitting home runs, so he pitched really well against them last time out and gave up a home run in that game. I mean, he suppresses right-handed power. So, like, Simeon and Young, you know, kind of helps there. Jankowski is not, like, a huge power guy. So, really, you're just kind of worried that, like, Lowe or Heim don't, like, beat you. Because, I mean, we've seen the Josh Smith experience now. This team is just can't wait for Seager to get back because Josh Smith is just playing defense. He's not doing anything at the plate. 34 plate appearances, 0 ISO, 234 WOBA, 32.5% strikeout rate. So, we've seen the Josh Smith, and I played him for what it's worth on my main lineup on Monday, just because I couldn't fit anybody else in at shortstop. And you just know that, like, going in, you're probably taking a zero. So, and what's crazy to me is they're still hitting him like 7th. They're not even like putting him in that like 9 hole, but
well, he was I think in the 2 hole there for a little while. They finally dropped him to 7th, but
they're that's not gonna work. Jankowski has actually got some like on base skills. But yeah, I mean, It's hard for me not to like have a little bit of interest in Keller when you're looking at like there's one more guy. I have one more guy that I'll talk about that when we get to him. But yeah, I mean, the pitchers down here are bad. They're bad.
Yeah.
All right. Bats in this one. I was a little shocked by this game having such a big total. I don't know, man. Neither one of these like names are like household names. Any interest here in the Texas bats?
I do. I think it's lefties, like you were mentioning. Nathaniel Lowe, really like him at 4,500. Jonah Heim is a cheap catcher. Really interested there as well. If Jankowski's in the 2 hole again, I think you have to have some interest. That's probably it, that little 3-man of the lefties. Keller's a decent pitcher. He's got solid control. So I don't full stack here, I don't think. I guess Jung is pretty cheap at 3,700, another righty. And if you want to try the Smith experience again, you could make the 5-man, but I probably just do 3-man. I'm concerned about the upside a little bit.
I mean, the lefties were where I would attack him. He's so good at like kind of limiting the righties that it's tough for me. It's tough for me to like have a ton of interest here. So, Josh Jung was my under the radar home run play in the extra survey today.
Mine was Patrick Wisdom. Also nailed
hey,
it.
Yeah, the Cubbies, man. I ended up with a lot of exposure to the Cubbies, too.
They're starting to roll a little bit here.
All right, well, good. I need the bats to go bonkers in these late games. To just listen, this is one of those nights. I'm just, hey, just give me a little min cash. We'll move on to the next slate. Kansas City side. I mean, if you want to play devil's advocate to the stats and you want to think that, like, if Eovaldi is going to run bad again, I mean, sure, you could maybe look at like a secondary stack here, but I mean, I'm going to trust the numbers in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see a reason to really try to attack Eovaldi with a below average offense. You can certainly one off guys like Perez or Melendez as catchers. Bobby Witt always has upside. Pascantino's cheap power, but I'm not stacking him at all.
All right, Arizona at St. Louis. Look at the weather on this one. I'm seeing like multiple sites have weather concerns with this game, so we'll have to see what Roth has to say. Just wanted to throw that out there before we get into this one. We're still going to break it down. Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, that's a solid. They should have been
team,
the Cardinals.
But...
yeah. All right, so we have 8 total in this game. Montgomery is a 180 favorite against Jameson. Let's talk Dre Jameson here. 54 pitches last time out. Kind of just filling in here for Zach Davies. I think we'll see him maybe in like that 70-75 pitch range here. Are we experimenting with this against this offense?
No chance. I mean, I think he's a decent prospect. The stuff is there, but he's not quite stretched out. And a matchup against St. Louis is just, I don't think you need to try it.
Big fastball, big slider. They want this guy to the pen. From everything that I've read, they really want this guy to the pen to like come in and throw two really strong innings out of the pen type of thing. So, I mean, he's just not a guy that at 7,100, if he's 6,100, maybe we're like sitting here going, all right, maybe
12 points on.
Yeah, maybe
four strikeouts in 3 innings or something, but
yeah, maybe it's a shot. But unless we get like some kind of like, hey, he's gonna throw 80 pitches here, like thing, but I still don't think I can do it. I just don't think I can do it. I'm playing Eovaldi over Jameson. I mean, I'm probably playing Keller over Jameson.
Yeah, and there's just so much more leash there. You have so many more outs with Keller than you do with Jameson. Like,
and honestly, I'm probably playing Colin Ray over him, and we'll talk about him in a minute. St. Louis is a good offense, right? Like, if this is a spot against Oakland or something, or like, it's such a different conversation. But St. Louis is such a good offense. They're going to have bad days, but they're a consistent offense. So, all right, let's talk Jordan Montgomery. I mean, outside of just like having like this one or two like bad pitches, if he could put together a whole game, we kind of saw it against Milwaukee, put together a whole game. I mean, the advanced numbers look really good on Jordan Montgomery. If the rain is okay, any interest here in Jordan Montgomery at 9,500?
That's what I was going to say. It's the price tag for me. That's just like, I know the strikeout stuff has been better since he's come over to St. Louis. He's still not an elite strikeout guy. He has 9 against Milwaukee, his second start this season, but that's not really who he is. He's going to be a ground ball guy, pitch to contact type. 9,500. It's a great matchup against Arizona, although I think they don't strike out as much against lefties, if I remember that correctly. So like, it's a good matchup from a power on the other side. Obviously you've got Walker and Marte and guys like that, but like Carroll's left hand, they have a lot of good lefties. Not as much from the right side, but I think they have better contact skills from the right side. So 9,500 is just a little bit too much to pay for Montgomery.
Yeah. I mean, he's 9,500 on FanDuel as well. So, I mean, the gap between him and like Strider is a little bit different on FanDuel. I mean, it potentially gets you one more hitter. So I think he would be like your contrarian type of play over there. But I mean, that's what he is today. He's a contrarian play. He has been a lot better since he got traded. Like it seemed like he just needed to get out of New York, and St. Louis has always been really good with pitching. So I could see it in tournaments. I could see it in tournaments. This whole range is really interesting. I mean, I think Stroman's going to kind of be the chalky SP2 today. So, like, this range is pretty interesting. So, we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. Arizona Bats, anything standing out to you against Montgomery?
No, like I mentioned, he's the ground ball pitch to contact type with really good control. Not a guy I like to stack against. Solid real life pitcher. Just like that price is the only thing holding me back in DFS. I think you can hunt a home run against him though. I mentioned Christian Walker. I really like him today. He's cheap at 3,400. Lourdes Gurriel at 3,800. Ketel Marte. I think you can look for a home run, but I'm not stacking Arizona here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Someone in chat just said Luch went 3-for-3 on home runs today over on Scores and Odds. That's solid. That's man.
Pretty impressive. I know one of them he was had, Simeon and Wisdom.
I know he had Wisdom. One. I know he had Wisdom as a home run. I saw that. I saw him write it up earlier. I don't know what his other ones were, but that's solid, man. Shout out to Luch. Shout out to Scores and Odds. I think as a team over there, we're absolutely crushing this season. I think we're like 23 units up to start the year. So, just one thing I wanted to note about Arizona before we move on to the Cardinals side. Ketel Marte is still 2,500 on FanDuel. That price is just too cheap for the talent. So, like, he's just a guy, like, I talked about him today on Expert Survey, and he's just too cheap over there at that price. At that price, I don't care who's pitching. He's a guy that can get it done in so many different ways that's just too cheap of a price tag for me. St. Louis side. I mean, Jameson seems like a really solid pitcher, but again, he's a guy that I feel like he's going to be a guy that they're going to work out of the bullpen. I mean, that's what his pitch setup kind of looks like. I mean, big fastball, good slider. It's just, yeah, I mean, this is a guy that he started at 4 games last year and his strikeout rate dipped a lot more than it was in the minors. So I don't know what to think here, but I think the pricing on St. Louis is going to make the decision a little bit easier.
Yeah, pricing is tough, but I do want to point out that we've got a couple of Cardinals fans, shout out to Derek and Dave in chat, saying nice things about my Cubs. So I could probably say a couple nice things about the Cardinals here. a lot of talented hitters. Gorman at 4,200 is the guy that kind of stands out where I like the price and I like the upside. You can put Tyler O'Neill in that conversation as well. Like getting, like I'm not premium stacking this, like going Goldschmidt, Arenado, and Donovan's price is just a little bit too much for what he is. But I think you can find a three man here. Like you play one of Goldschmidt and Arenado and then go like Gorman, Nootbaar or something like that. We'll have to see what the lineup looks like. They've got a ton of options. Like, so depending on who's playing the outfield between O'Neill, Nootbaar, Walker, Carlson, that group, like I think you can find a couple value pieces in the outfield to pair with elite upside from Goldschmidt or Arenado.
That's like my thought process as well. Same thought process here. Like get one, like it's a three man for me, and it's one of Arenado or Goldschmidt, and then it's two of Nootbaar, Burleson, Gorman type of plays. Edmund, like that range. Edmund would probably be my least favorite for what it's worth. All right, cruising along, Toronto at Houston. We got Bassett. We got Yurkaitis. facing off against each other here. 9 total. Pick'em game. Any interest here in Bassett?
It's been a rough go for Bassett. Looked a little bit better his last time out. The leash is what. Yeah, it was Detroit. Definitely want to point that out. Houston is a really tough matchup, obviously, as we just saw Kevin Gausman get beat up. I still don't think that they're as good as they have been in recent seasons. I don't know. Like you touched on Stroman a little bit. I don't love SP2 on the slate. I think Bassett's in play. The leash is what the thing that stood out to me. He's been 107 pitches and 109 pitches in his last two. Like you're not going to find that type of leash very often in the game anymore. I think you can take shots here at 8,200. I don't like the matchup though.
I mean, if you were like me and you're like, if you had interest in Gausman, you saw that lineup roll out on Monday, you're like, oh man, what a great lineup for Gausman. And it didn't work out. Bassett's not good, man. This guy is not good. Alvarez is one of my favorite plays on the entire slate. And we'll talk about him in just a minute. But Bassett, he's been awful this year. He has a 6.5 XFIP. His whip is like 1.6. He's not missing bats at all with an 8% swinging strike rate and an 81% contact rate. And he's walking people. Like the walks and all that issues. Like, I mean, St. Louis pounded him his first start. Don't get me wrong. But like LA, the next start, 5 walks, 5 strikeouts. He didn't even pitch like that great against Detroit. Yeah, he put up 18 fantasy points, but he didn't even pitch that great. I agree with you on the leash, but I mean, that might help my bats. And we'll talk about Houston bats in a minute. I have a ton of interest in the Houston bats. I don't really have
one more point on Bassett, yeah. Real quick, is his velocity has been way down. Like it's been a known thing. He was at 91 fastball average his first two starts. He was up to 92 in his third one. So I'm keeping an eye on that. Something clearly wasn't right to begin the season. I don't know if it was just a slow ramp up or whatever, but velocity trending in the right direction. So maybe he's fixing some things.
I mean, maybe he was just excited to face Detroit.
Maybe.
Had a little bit more juice. All right, let's talk. Jose Urquidy, any interest here?
No. Reverse splits guy. There's way too much right-handed power on this Toronto. In these Toronto bats. I like Toronto quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, his fly ball rate goes up. This season, I haven't dug into it yet. It could just be kind of who he's faced, looking at like who he's faced so far this year. But this year, he's done a great job limiting the power to righties. I don't know. I need to dig into this more. I think he might be playable today. But, I mean, the lineup is just such a tough lineup. And he's not a huge strikeout guy in general, so I probably don't end up there. It's just, I mean, I'm looking at everything today when it comes to pitching. Like, I know I'm going to spend a couple hours in the morning on pitching because I think that's where you're going to win or lose the slate today is pitching. I mean, the hitters kind of are there. You know what you want to do. And, like, when you're doing deep dives on pitchers, it kind of opens up your thought process on hitters anyway. Pitchers, doing deep dive on pitchers opens up your eyes on hitters. Let's talk bats. Any interest here in Toronto?
Yeah, I just talked about the right-handed power. It's something Urquidy, like when he's not missing bats, he gives up a lot of fly balls and a lot of hard contact. I absolutely love Bichette, Guerrero, Springer. Chapman has been just unbelievable to start this season. Good for him. I'm not afraid to play lefties either. Like Urquidy limits them with that really good changeup. But a guy like Varsho, I'm interested in. Whoever's catching Kirk or Jansen, interest there. He is a control guy, so it's and Toronto's also expensive. I don't know that I love a full 5-man stack. It's just hard to fit in unless you want to play guys like Brandon Belt, which I don't. So probably more of a 3-man for me, like a Bichette, Chapman, Kirk, or whoever's catching, like that type of thing. It's a 3-man hunt looking for some power is really how I'm interested in playing Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, he is a guy that typically has a pretty decent, like, hard to soft contact ratio. Like, he'll throw his changeup a ton against lefties and try to keep him off balance. I will note, so just sitting here and like letting you get your thoughts out, I did a little bit of a dive here And he's changed up his pitches. He's using a sinker a lot more this year than he did last year. He's kind of mixing up things. He's yet to throw a slider. Like, he's not thrown a slider yet this season. And I don't know if that's just an error on the site or not, but and this is a dude that was throwing a slider 40% of the time against right-handed hitters last year, and he hasn't thrown a slider yet, and his numbers are way better against righties, so might be something here. I'm just saying, might be something here. I might respect it. Like, if I think if you're playing Toronto, you're stacking them, like, at these prices and, like, how expensive they are anyway. So, just might be something here. He has a negative 2.1% hard-to-soft contact ratio this year. So, that's a huge uptick. And maybe he's getting unlucky, or maybe he's getting lucky. So, usually, though, with, like, hard and soft contact ratios, like, it's usually not luck driven. So I don't know. It's tough. I will say this, Keith. I love Houston. I love this Houston spot. This is a phenomenal spot. Yordan Alvarez, one of my favorite hitters on the slate. I think he's one of the guys that has like 2 to 3 home run upside in this matchup. I mean, You play Alvarez and Tucker, and then you just go down here and find the value. Like, who's in the lineup, who's not in the lineup, and, you know, build from there. Because the rest of the lineup with Altuve out, like, you can build a really cheap, you know, five-man, if you even with those two guys.
What did you say the line in this game was? It was pretty much a pick 'em, right?
Yeah.
I'm sensing a jelly bean bet here. I'm on the Toronto side of this, and you're very much on the Houston side.
I just like the bats. I'm not putting any jelly beans on either one of these pitchers. I like the Houston bats a lot.
Fair enough. Alvarez and Tucker, absolutely love. I know Bassett's had a rough go, but I think he's a pretty solid pitcher overall. Whether he has it completely figured out or not, or whether he got a little bit lucky against Detroit and just had a good outing, still very much remains to be seen. If he has it figured out, I don't love the Houston stack for what it's worth, but you can always play Tucker and Alvarez. There's some cheap pieces here as well. Jolks, if he's in the lineup, is a guy who's looked really good in the early going. Abreu's fine, Pena's fine, but like, it's not the cheapest stack in the world. Unless you get a guy like, I don't know, Jolks, or who's the other one? If Myers, like, there's going to be some cheap outfield options here probably, which might help tie the stack together. But really, Alvarez and Tucker, but boy, they're priced up as they should be, really, though.
Oh yeah, I mean, if he has a good game, I could see it being big. But Abreu is off to a ice cold start. I mean, ice cold start. He's eventually going to get going, you would think. He's too good of a hitter, and man, I am so. Bases loaded, Braves, top of the lineup.
Yeah.
And they ouch. They got out. Olsen strikes out, Riley grounds into a double play. Oh,
that hurt.
That was the inning. That was the spot. Weathers is going to, like, if Weathers gives up anything right there, they had just went to the mound when they loaded the bases after the Acuna single. If he gets, if Riley does anything right there. Anyway, let's go to course. Pittsburgh at Colorado, taking on the Rockies. 12.5 total in this game. Pick 'em game. We got Vasquez. We got Urena. Let's start with Vincent Velasquez. I mean, absolutely stunning start last time out.
Yeah. He mowed down St. Louis, but
I played St. Louis so much.
I'm going to chalk that up to an outlier. I think this is going to be a rough start for Mr. Velasquez here.
Yeah. Whether you like the fake cores or not, today is not the day. It's just today. Not the day. Yeah. Like, if you're on the fade core strain today, you're hoping it's like a 6-5 game with no home runs. I mean, that's what you're hoping for, because I mean, this is just a spot that is like Jose Urena's on the other side of this game, right? He pitched well against Cardinals last time out too. So maybe you just play bad pitchers against the Cardinals. Maybe we figured out the strategy to attack this Cardinals team. I mean, he still gave him a couple home runs. He's given up 5 home runs now in 3 starts. I mean, Washington beat him around. He doesn't go deep into games. man, oh man, this is a like we're stacking this game in Pittsburgh. Like we're playing hitters in this game in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's one of the worst ballparks in baseball. So the fact that we're getting like 20 to 25 mile an hour winds blowing out to right and 73 to get weather like in cores, like this is just, it's a phenomenal spot. Don't fade this spot.
Yeah, I mean, I faded it on Monday night. Pittsburgh ended up just smashing. This one is going to be really, really difficult to fade. Like these pitchers, like Velasquez has long been known for his hard contact issues. At least he has a little strikeout ability, so maybe there's a path. I don't think so, but Urania, there's just like he has like a 12% strikeout rate. There's going to be plenty of contact here from Pittsburgh. We're going to have all kinds of value options again. Like you're just stacking this on both sides a ton. Like the ownership is probably going to be out of control, and maybe you just match the field. It's going to be tough to get overweight and then try to do other things as well. But this is pretty much one of those unfadeable Coors games. I really wish that it would have failed on Monday night, so it would have held down the ownership a little bit here. I think it's going to be pretty popular, but it's a tough fade with these two pitchers on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, right, it's baseball, and variance in baseball is high. Anything can happen. The stats tell us, like, this is going to be a high-scoring game. Like, we usually see, like, 10, 11 totals, 12 and a half.
We're going to see, yeah, I was going to say 7.
It's 12 and a half.
It's 12 and a half right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, Pittsburgh side, as far as the bats go, I mean, it's Reynolds. You get Reynolds in there. Like, you start with Reynolds, and then you just kind of build out whoever you want. We'll see if McCutchen plays or not, but I mean, everybody else is cheap. Bay is 4K, Hayes is 3,800, Joe is 3,500, Santana is 3,400. The utility players that have been playing are cheap. I really want like Jack Swazinski to crack the lineup at 2,700. Like, he's a guy that has kind of started really slow this season. Smith as well. Nigbai, I think, is how. Is it Jigby?
Jigba.
That's right. He's a guy I played a little bit from Ohio State.
They're actually brothers.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a guy I played at the beginning of the year, and I watched some baseball, and my memory is bad. But yeah, if he cracks the lineup, like either one of these cheap lefties, they're both talented. So if either one of these guys crack the lineup, I think they're great plays. This is just a spot. They just called back that second baseman too, from AAA.
Marcano.
Like I think he's minimum salary. So I mean, it's Reynolds, and then you're going to get all the value. Yeah. And there's not, I think they have three lefties in the bullpen. Colorado does, up from one last year. So there are a little bit of pinch hit risk, but I mean, yeah, this is a great spot for Pittsburgh. Anything that you want to add here for Pittsburgh, and then you can just kind of go over to the Rockies side.
No, I think you covered it really well. Like they were facing a lefty on Monday night, so we saw all the righty platoon cheap guys like Mathias, Castro was in there. That's going to flip to all the lefties. So Smith and Jigba, and Sawinski, love both of those calls. Like those guys, those are just like two pretty good prospects with some power. So I actually like them better than the guys that played on Monday night. Marcano is a big speed guy who just got called up. Probably see him at second base instead of Mathias. Like the platoon here, I actually prefer the lefties more than the righties on Monday. And Urania is, to me, a more attackable pitcher than Freeland. So I was off Pittsburgh on Monday. I'm going to love them on Tuesday. Unfortunately, since they just went bonkers on Monday night, they're going to be owned. But I probably still am pretty close to the field on them. Love this spot. Colorado side, I talked about Velasquez and his home run issues. It's been like he's been in the league for 6, 7, 8 years, and it's just constant. The guy just gives up too many fly balls and too many hard hits. That's not going to work in Coors. Colorado is better against lefties, so it was a better spot for Colorado Monday than it is here, arguably. Rich Hill is not good anymore, despite what he did on Monday night. But like Velasquez gives it up to both sides. Like there's any right-handed power I'm just as interested in. But McMahon, who was tough to play, Blackman, who was tough to play Monday, those are the guys leading the charge here. CJ Cron's still very good. Righty-righty. Chris Bryant, you can play, certainly. Profar actually has reverse splits, so he should lead off here again. He's 3,600 still. Diaz is 3,700 catcher. Yeah, I mean, I'd like the Pittsburgh side slightly better on Tuesday than I did on Monday, but this Colorado side still very much in play. Velasquez probably gives up a couple of bombs here.
Yeah, Rich Hill did his thing, right? Listen, Vincent Velasquez is not good. This guy has a 5.5 xFIP since the start of last year. He struggles with fly balls. Massive wind blowing out to right field. He's a righty. I mean, this is a great spot for the lefties. And, I mean, if you're playing Colorado, really, like, the two power guys are right-handed. But, I mean, a ton of interest here in Profar, Blackman, McMahon. But really, anybody that cracks the lineup for Colorado, I think, is going to be in play in this spot. Vincent Velasquez.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, he's not great, man. So I want to see who's in the lineup. I hope, like, this might be the first time this year I played the Moose. I hope Moustakas cracks the lineup today at 3K. So, and you can use him at third base, so you don't necessarily have to use him at first base. So if you want to play CJ Krohn and Moustakas, you can. So that's one nice thing that you can do with them adding third base eligibility to him. So
I just want to correct something. I said reverse splits on Profar. He's a switch hitter, so obviously it's not reverse, but stronger side of the plate. He's better against righties than he's against lefties.
He is, yep. Man, your Cubs. So I have a team that's climbing the leaderboard right now. So I'm going to at least get one min cash. And they got the bases loaded with no outs too, and they're struggling. So my teams that, like, have any kind of hope keep getting bases loaded, and they keep failing. Speaking of Cubs, we got Chicago at Oakland facing the Athletics here. We got a 8 total. Cubs a 172 favor. We got Stroman and Waldichuk. Stroman, 8,800. Three really solid starts. I mean, he pitched really solid against Seattle last time out. That's a really tough offense. So to give up a couple runs there, has not allowed a home run yet. My biggest concern is the walks. But, I mean, giving him 98 pitches last time in a tough matchup is all I needed to see. I'm definitely attacking Stroman in this spot against Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland's just bad. Like we were talking about Wesneski to open the show kind of, and how he had got off to a rocky start, but he's settled in, and Oakland only has one run through four innings. So just, it's not a good offense. Stroman has looked really good. Not a guy that I generally like to play in DFS because he sits around 20% strikeout rate, 22. It's been up this season, though. At least 6Ks in every start, and the leash, it looks like, is getting extended. I don't think he gets much above 100, but I think you can pretty much pencil him in for 95 pitches in this spot. 8,800, a little more than I'd like to play, but the matchup makes it so he's very much in play in this spot. Like, give me six clean innings with 6 to 8 Ks, and I'm all about it on this slate.
Has to be the chalky SP2 today, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Waldichuk on the other side. I mean, talented prospect from everything that, like, you read. It has not translated yet. I mean, the Cubs keep hitting. Oh, I mean, they don't hit with bases loaded and no outs, but they have been hitting this year. And, I mean, you look at the lineup overall, and it's a really solid lineup against left-handed pitching. They're able to platoon pretty much the whole lineup. They let Bellinger play on Monday night. So, I mean, Bellinger's just, he's so underrated as a hitter. He's the guy that was, like, talked about and then, like, had it, got hurt and had that back. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not playing Waldichuk here. I'm going back to the well on the Cubs bats for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Cubs offense, a couple comments in chat about it being a little bit sneaky. I think it's really sneaky against lefties, especially with Seiya Suzuki back in the lineup. Like, this, like, Wisdom is no joke against lefties. You've got Swanson and Horner in there. I agree with you. The Cubs are very, very stackable on the slate.
We're going to talk about Strider here in a game or two. Strowman is more expensive than Strider on FanDuel.
okay, that's just ridiculous.
Could potentially be like the pivot though. 6-7 innings, quality start, win, 6-8 strikeouts. Strider struggles a little bit. I mean, I like Strider way more for what it's worth. I'm just playing devil's advocate on, like, if you, no one's gonna play Strowman over Strider on FanDuel. So
that I agree with.
All right, Cubs bats that we like here. Again, I'm going to say the same thing I said yesterday as far as like the Cubs bats. Not only do I don't think Waldichuk is the best, but the bullpen's terrible. So like we're seeing the Cubs get into the bullpen in the fifth inning. They're going to have to use some arms here. They brought in one of their better arms to kind of get out of the bases loaded situation, which stunk. What are your thoughts here on the Cubs bats?
Yeah, love him. Wisdom to hit a home run will be on my betting card again for sure. Anytime he's facing a lefty, he's like, I don't care about the ballpark. Like, he just mashes left-handed pitching. It's another great spot for him. Too cheap at 4,500. Swanson and say Suzuki probably appropriately priced. Like, this Cubs stack is not that cheap. There are some pieces that'll make it work. Yan Gomes is 2,900. Mancini, 3,200. I like both of them. Like, Nico's been stealing so many bases, Horner. That is, I think, like, 4,400 seems like a lot if you think about him as not, like, a huge power guy. But if he's going to keep stealing bases at the rate that he is, that's, like, I love Nico Horner in the spot. He hits lefties really well. If he gets on base and he can run, I'm all about it. Bellinger is too cheap for his power upside. If he cracks the lineup, you play him. Hopefully that he only gets one at bat, even if it's two at bats against Waldichuk, you've got two against the bullpen. So he certainly wouldn't leave his power out of the stack. They're one of my top stacks on the slate.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have much to add. Mancini, I think, like you mentioned, he's just cheap. And someone the other day, I don't know if it was on XM or if it was on a Grinders live show, but they compared Horner to Trey Turner. And my initial thoughts are like, eh. But then I thought about it more.
There's a speed discrepancy there. Like, Horner's not blazing fast. Trey Turner is blazing fast. But Horner is a very, very baseball IQ savvy guy. So he's very good at stealing bases despite not being super fast.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, listen, I'm not comparing him to Trey Turner. I'm just saying someone mentioned it to me. And I was like, I mean, a cheaper Trey Turner? I mean, yeah. I play Horner all the time. Like, so
this year I'm totally all about that. Like, he's clearly running every time he gets on, so I love it.
He had a stolen base already tonight. Yep. So
I think he's leading
stolen bases in three straight games.
He's leading the majors in steals. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Oakland bats against Strowman. Anything here?
No.
I'm not,
like, talked about the Montgomery profile. It's the same thing. Ground ball pitcher, like, control's been shaky to start the year, but he's been a solid control guy throughout. Oakland, a really weak offense. Not a good stack.
Yeah, no interest for me. Brewers and Mariners, 8 total in this game. The Mariners are 164 favorites. We got Ray against Gilbert. We'll start here with Ray. Any interest in him in this spot?
He was pretty good his last time out. I don't know what to think about that. Like, journeyman, he's pitched overseas. He's spent a ton of time in the minors. Formerly a really good prospect for the Padres. And just, I don't know, he's been given opportunities but never found a sticking spot. I don't like the matchup against Seattle, so I probably don't get there. Again, like, we've talked about a couple of these 6K pitchers that probably one of them gets there. I don't know how to figure out which one it's going to be. He's similar to Brad Keller. Like, they're the same play, in my opinion.
So, I mean, I had all intention to, like, come on here and say maybe we could take some shots on him. And then kind of looking at that start, man, did he run pure. 0-9-1 BABIP in that game. Really tough for me to say, play this guy. He throws a lot of junk. And like, pitchers, we saw Miles Mikolas, right? He came back from overseas and, like, he looked like a different pitcher. And I think the biggest difference is going to be command. I don't know if, like, Ray is going to have that same type of command, but I mean, he threw just about everything in his start. He threw fastballs, sliders, cutters, curveballs, changeups. Like, yeah. I don't think this is the right spot. I watched some of that game. I mean, he really did not pitch bad. 31% K rate in that game, Keith, with a 7% swinging strike rate. That's a huge red flag to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect 30% Ks from him for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I can do it on Ray. I think the Seattle team is a team that I'm very high on just in general this year. I will say, like, Gilbert's somewhat interesting at 8,500. If Stroman, like, is going to be, like, the chalky SP2, the Milwaukee lineup is not great. I mean, it has some pieces that are good. Don't get me wrong. It's not, like, this elite offense by any means, though. And Gilbert's a solid pitcher. I mean, I would classify him as, like, an above-average pitcher. So I don't mind. I don't think I mind Logan Gilbert today as a pivot off of Stroman in this same, like, price range.
No, I really like Logan Gilbert. I agree with you. I think he's easily an above average pitcher. I think he's really young still. He's got ace potential, in my opinion, if he just puts it all together. A guy that had a really good leash, like in the second half last year, before they finally decided to start limiting a little bit. He threw 94 pitches in his last one. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little room up on that. Like, I think he can get to the 100 pitch mark here. I agree with your comments on Milwaukee. I'm not impressed with their offense at all. Tellez is starting to pick it up a little bit, but Yelich not being the same guy, it's cost them. There's just, like, I know Mitchell is off to a hot start. Winker's been out of the lineup for, seems like, a week at least. I'm not sure why he didn't end up on the IL. If Winker's back in here, that's, I definitely want to see as few lefties as possible. But yeah, I have a ton of interest in Gilbert, especially if Stroman's chalk and Gilbert's lower owned. I'll be way overweight on Gilbert.
Yeah, I think Gilbert's solid. I do. Him and Stroman are really, and like even like taking some shots on Sonny Gray in this range.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's why I say I don't know that I'm going to end up in that 6K range, because I like all three of the guys in the 8K range, and then Eovaldi at 7,800 too. I think that's where we're looking for SP2.
Yeah, I like Eovaldi a lot today.
Yep.
All right. Bats in this one. Anything standing out to you from Milwaukee?
No, not really. I think you'd be looking for lefty power, Tellez or Garrett Mitchell. I don't mind as one-offs. That's really about it for me.
Yeah, I mean, the righties, he is, even this year, he's been really good against righties. So he struggles with more fly balls and hard contact to lefties. So if you want to play Tellez, typically this is a spot I'd say play Yelich, because it is a ground ball or a fly ball pitcher. But, I mean, he does not look right still. I don't think Yelich is ever going to look like he's 100% again. So still above average hitter. He just strikes out at like a 35% clip, which is crazy to me as a leadoff hitter. Like, Domus would make so much more sense as a leadoff hitter, but whatever. I'm not a coach. I just sit here and look at numbers. Seattle bats. I think Seattle stacks in play. Like I said, Ray ran really well, really good, and like he struggled with righty power and fly balls in that game. So you don't want to struggle with righty power. In a matchup against Seattle, Rodriguez, France, Suarez, Teoscar Hernandez, Klinik is lefty, but he's been crushing. Like, I could definitely see getting on board on the Seattle stack here.
Yeah, I mean, I know Ray was really good in his last time out, but he's ultimately a journeyman pitcher. He's 30 years old who's never been able to stick in the big leagues. You can certainly stack here. Love Julio, Teoscar, Suarez, France. Like another stack that's pretty expensive. Love the Kelenic call too. He's been just incredible here. Expensive stack, but certainly don't mind it. There's nothing telling us that Ray is as good as he was his last time out.
All right, we got Atlanta at San Diego. Man, this is a big slate. There's a lot of stuff to discuss in this slate. We got a 7.5 total. Strider against Snell, and the Braves are a 140 favorite here on the road. Spencer Strider, our guy today, is he the guy? Like, is he your number one guy?
Yeah, absolutely. He's the number one guy on most times that he pitches. Not the best matchup against San Diego, But it's like Strider's matchup proof. He just has ridiculous stuff. The K rate is enormous. Like 10K is probably not enough for his talent level. I talked about this with DeGrom yesterday, and I know it didn't work out, but that's not going to scare me off of Strider. Like, I'm going to play him like he's going out there and striking out 9 or 10 today, because that's what he does on most nights.
I will say this, right? Bogarts and Soto are both above average, like, on base guys. They don't strike out. They walk really high. So, like, you really just kind of hoping he gets around those two guys. But you're getting big strikeouts out of Machado, Cronenworth, Kim, Nola, if he's in there. They've been playing, like, Dixon a little bit, and he's a big strikeout guy. This is a little bit different for me for DeGrom. I could see going, like, so my three teams, I could see going, like, 2 out of 3 and playing two of these 8K pitchers together and just loading up on some bats. Or trying to make my core stack different by not going Strider, because it's really easy to fit Strider and Stroman with a core stack because of how cheap it is. Yeah. I mean, that's your chalky build today. There you go. There's your blueprint. If you want to build a chalky team. But yeah, I mean, Strider ceiling wise, no one's even close to him on the slate. So he's a fantastic play. Snell on the other side of this game. I mean, he pitched in Atlanta already once this season, and that did not go well. This is such a good offense just in general. And the fact that, like, they're getting lefties back-to-back days, I don't know, man. I don't think I can play Snell. Like, his walk rate is through the roof right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's who he's been his whole career. Like, he's either just going to go out there and walk the world and rack up 100 pitches in 4 innings, or he's going to go out there and strike out 10. I don't think this is the spot he strikes out 10. Maybe if I was playing 150, I would sprinkle him in a little bit. I think he comes in pretty low-owned here with as much as we've talked about the other 8K pitchers. Like, it's a brutal matchup against Atlanta. Like, they're going to just dominate left-handed pitching this year. I don't think it's a spot that I get to it because I do like most of the pitching in this range. I think he's going to be low on, though. If you wanted to take a tournament shot and hope he struck out 9 or 10, I wouldn't talk you out of it. I think you were a little crazy, but not just insane.
No, I mean, the strikeout upside, when he's on, yeah, he's a guy that can strike out 10+. So, I mean, the strikeout upside is what you would attack him here. Atlanta, they strike out less against left-handed pitching than they do against right-handed pitching. So, all right, let's talk Atlanta bats. For me, Atlanta is super simple today. I'm stacking them or fading them. They're expensive. I think I can't play like Acuna or Riley as like one-offs. I can. Riley is one of the best hitters in baseball against left-handed pitching since the start of last season. So you can, but I don't think that's how I would approach Atlanta. I think it's a stack or fade for me.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Snell's control issues, like he can put three guys on with walks and then somebody comes up and hits a home run off him. Like, that's what you want from a stack. So I like Atlanta. I think Snell is a very talented pitcher. He's not an easy guy to hit hard. It's really more just because he misses so many bats with strikeouts and walks. But yeah, like Riley is amazing against lefties. Sean Murphy's amazing against lefties. Albies is better against lefties. Vaughn Grissom, who they just called up, is really cheap and fills shortstop. Cheap outfielders as well. Ozuna, Pilar, White was in the lineup on Monday. Like, I'm going right back to Atlanta, I think, here. Like, Snell, not a pitcher that I generally attack much because he does strike out so many guys. But I love this Atlanta team, how they set up against lefties.
Yeah, I mean, the home runs, the walks, it's just big innings. I mean, Atlanta, Acuna will run, so, like, he adds upside that way. So, yeah. Any interest in the San Diego bats here against Strider?
Nope.
I think if you're running 150 and you want to build a little hedge stack, go for it. I'm never going to tell you not to do that against the highest owned pitcher on the slate. He's probably going to be your highest owned pitcher, too. So, if you're running 150, building two or three Padres stacks is not the craziest thing. Obviously, make sure you don't build like Padres stacks with Strider. Hey, listen, people still make that mistake. So, just saying. Ian Happ with a stolen base, my dude. New York Mets, Los Angeles Dodgers, 8 total. The Dodgers are 172 favorite here. We got McGill against Kershaw. Any interest here in Tyler McGill?
Not against the Dodgers, not at 9,200. Just not a long leash here. too much power on the other side of this game. I like a lot of 8K pitchers a lot more than I like Tyler McGill. I don't think we need him on the slate.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, I talked about yesterday how I don't think the Dodgers lineup is as good as it usually is, but I still don't think I want to pay $9,200 for McGill. So the price, he's kind of priced out. So no interest for me. And then Kershaw is interesting. Like, I don't play right-handed pitchers against the Mets, and I've talked about this all year last year. Just, I don't do it. A lefty, you could talk me into playing Kershaw today. He's still elite, man. Like, still elite. And this is a team, like, if they leave the lefties in there and the righties, I mean, you got to beat Alonso and Marte, but Marte is not hitting for power. Like, you could talk me into playing Kershaw as a pivot off of like the two other expensive guys here.
I don't know if I can do it still. I agree with you. He's an elite pitcher. I don't know if the strikeouts are elite anymore.
Yeah, that's true. And the leash. You always got to remember the leash at 10-1.
Yeah, like I think there's an absolute
100
ceiling.
100 pitches last time, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Absolute ceiling of 100. Like, I don't think they'd let him go over that. Man, I'm going to click Strider every time. I don't think I can get there. If he comes in 5% owned, maybe I change my stance on that. But Mets are a tough matchup. Strider's on the slate. I probably just get to Strider.
In a scenario where you use a lot of the value from cores, you could potentially play both of them. I think. Yeah. I haven't messed with building lamps, but I mean, it looks like you potentially could. Swazinski just hit a home run off the bench for the Pirates.
Nice.
And bump his ownership up for tomorrow. Darn it.
Yep.
It's already going to be high. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Mets bats. Anything that you like here against Kershaw?
Nope.
Yeah. No, not touching him. McGill. I mean, he is a high walk. He struggles against lefties. So like Freeman, Muncy would be like the main two targets. And then if you're playing those two, like, you try to fit in bets, but he's so expensive that, like, I mean, with Smith out, the stack, overall stack becomes cheaper. But, like, McGill is not, like, a guy that I can see myself going, hey, I'm going to full stack against Tyler McGill today. So, I mean, it's Muncy and Freeman and then maybe just, like, whoever the cheap piece is. Because, I mean, this guy does struggle against lefties. So, like, who's do they have a cheap lefty here?
Outman, yeah, Peralta and Hayward are the cheap outfielders.
Yeah, so I mean, getting Freeman and Muncy and then one of those guys.
Yep, I think you nailed it exactly. Like, Outman is the best outfielder lefty that hits left-handed, but his price is up to 4K. So I would love to get the Outman, but like you said, like, I think we're spending on pitching a lot. If we're playing Freeman and Muncy, I don't know how often I get to Outman. I would definitely prefer him over Peralta and Hayward, but you do save quite a bit going down to those two.
All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. We talked a lot today.
A lot of games.
It happens. A lot of games. A lot of good games. Like a lot of spots that are like worth talking about. So good first look, I think. If you appreciate this first look, hit that subscribe button over there on YouTube. Helps out. Under 8K to get over 6 strikeouts. Who do you got today?
There's one obvious one, and it gets pretty tough after that. I'm going to take him, though. It's Eovaldi.
I like it. Honestly, if I had to pick someone to get 6 strikeouts, it would probably be Sale. He's had at least 6 strikeouts in his first 3 starts, so like it'd probably be Sale.
Yeah, I like it.
But yeah, I mean, Eovaldi's
doesn't mean he's going to be good, but he should get 6 strikeouts.
The more I go through the slate, the more I'm like, man, I might play him on one of 3 teams just because he's so cheap. He's so cheap. And like, you could play Sale with cores, and like your core stack is just so different. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to play at least one core stack, if not 2. So it's really just like, how can I make those stacks different? So anyway, over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
I like the way Toronto sets up against Urquidy. I'm going to take him.
I like it. The more I think about this, the more I think this is a terrible matchup for Tyler McGill. So I'm going to say he busts in this spot.
Like him.
Over 4K to hit a home run, not in cores. Who do you got going yard today?
Going to notice a theme here for the rest of these. We've talked about him so long ago, I almost forgot about him. But how much I love Baltimore today. Adley Rutschman's going deep.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I'm going all the way to the top. All the way to the top. I already said it. I love Jordan Alvarez today. Give me Alvarez to hit two home runs. Not just one. He's going to hit two today. Under 4K to get two hits. Who's your cheap bet that you got getting two hits today?
Going back to Baltimore. Super elite prospect. Been a rough start to the season.
My guy.
Gunnar Henderson. This is an awesome spot for him to get right, isn't it?
Oh, he's starting to hit too. Yeah. All right, I got to find somebody else. Hold on. Oh, there's somebody we mentioned. Hold on, I got to remember who it was. O'Hearn.
Love
Let's
that.
Play some Ryan O'Hearn today. Wisdom striking out. What are the Cubs doing? Gosh, I'm not a Cubs fan. I'm so glad I'm not a Cubs fan. Give me a stack to score. I mean, oh man, Burns got hurt too.
Oof.
He left tonight's game as well. Like, what is going on? What is going on?
Yikes.
Oh, one of those slates. Yeah, he left. He just left. Oh, man. Anyway, all right. Oh, all right. Stack to score six or more runs.
Yeah, give me Baltimore again. Just love the way they set up against Gray.
Yeah, I like Baltimore a lot today. I like them a lot. I'm trying to go off the board here. I don't want to say the Cubbies. I do like the Cubbies
anything
a lot.
That's not in cores is going to be off the board today. They're going to be both of those like, are 20% owned, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be. All right. Well, massive. Then give me the Cubbies. I'll take the Cubbies. Yeah. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No. Fun slate. Going to have to figure out how to get different if playing cores. That's for sure.
I mean, that's my initial thought too, is you want to play cores. How do you make your cores teams different? And I mean, Everyone is building core Stroman Strider. So think about that and think about how you potentially get different, whether you want to play one of those two guys or fade them both, which it's tough to say that with Strider. But I think everyone is going to be building Colorado, Pittsburgh, Stroman teams. So appreciate everyone hanging out. I will post the Morning Grind link over there on Twitter throughout the day. So if you want to join the Morning Grind game, I think we ended up with like 40 or something on Monday night. So if you want to join and have some fun, my team's terrible. So you guys are welcome for my donation. So there you go. My main team didn't. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not good. So we ended up with 43. So if you want to play in the Morning Grind game, come over, hang out. Try to get Keith in there as well. Let's see how much of Baltimore he can play to pivot off of course. But hope everyone has a fantastic Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow talking more baseball. Good luck, everyone. See you then.